Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Transrail Lightning Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prathamesh Sawant from Mirae Asset Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome on this rainy afternoon to Q4 FY25 earnings call of Transrail Lightning Limited. From the senior management team, we have with us Mr. Randeep Narang, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Deepak Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further ado, I would now like to hand over the conference call to Mr. Randeep Narang, Managing Director, for his opening remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Randeep, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining this call on a lovely sunny day, stroke of monsoon day. It's really changed. The weather change has happened. So thank you for joining. I have with me our CFO, Mr. Deepak Khandelwal. So basically, we'd love to now continue and start. Our performance for quarter and full year has been really excellent, and we'd like to share more details. We are back with a very diverse board of professionals, and we have our Executive Chairman, Mr. Bagre, and myself working closely. The board brings valuable insights across power, infrastructure, finance, governance, HR, and public policy. We also, in operations, have a highly competent management team, which is led for each business vertical and support functions, and they are also best in class. Now, I'd like to talk about our financial year 2025 results. The year has been of strong execution and disciplined growth. We have delivered on commitments we made to our stakeholders. While we met our revenue guidance, we surpassed our margin projections, and we have robust growth coupled with improved operational efficiencies, which reflects on our ability to scale profitability going forward. For year 2025, we made significant progress in project execution in key geographies. While our CFO will talk about financials, I'd like to share that our operations stood at a revenue of 5,307 crores, which has grown by 30.2% over last year, 2024. Our EBITDA margin expanded by 102 points, around 12.73%. Profit after tax stood at 326.63 crores, delivering a strong growth of 40% over previous year. Talking about quarterly numbers, we reported a strong growth on key performance. Our revenue grew by 39.76%. Our EBITDA grew by 40.77% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin was 12.2%, and PAT growth was 26.93%. So we have completed an important year and important projects during this year, including transmission lines, substations in India and Africa. Some of the important projects completed during the year were transmission line packages in the east and northeast of India, railway electrification corridors in south and central east, rural electrification, and substations in select African countries, which are always funded by multilateral funding agencies. The projects were executed with a high level of operational discipline, safety compliance, reinforcing our reputation as a reliable EPC partner. The order book and our industry outlook: what we have today is an order book with L1 of 15,951 crores, out of which L1 is 1,364 crores, which provides a strong revenue visibility in the next 18 to 24 months. Our total unexecuted order book, the T&D business is 92%, and within our geographical mix, 51% is domestic and 49% is international projects. This year, we booked orders worth 9,680 crores, which is not only a growth of 120% year-on-year, but the highest order book we have booked in Transrail. The business outlook on the T&D sector, both in India and international, continues to be strong. Continuous trust on grid strengthening and expansion drive by the rising power demand in most countries, enhanced by energy transition. We are encouraged by the pipeline of projects which are expected to come for bidding, and expertise coupled with strong association with major players in the sector helps us to sustain and deliver balanced growth in quarters to come. We see a strong traction in trending activities in the industry. We are focused on securing quality orders and align them with the issuance trends. We are very selective in our bidding. We work on the right margin, the right client and the right geography. And we believe that this will help us maintain profitability as we go forward. Now I invite our CFO, Mr. Khandelwal, to help us through the financial highlights for the quarter and year ended 31st March.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to everyone on the call. I will now take you through our financial performance for Q4 and FY25. During the fourth quarter of FY25, we reported strong growth on all our key performance parameters. Our revenue from operations for the quarter stood at INR 1946.02 crore, registering a year-on-year growth of 39.76%. Our EBITDA for the quarter was INR 237.43 crore, up by 40.77% on year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 12.2% versus 12.1% in Q4 of financial year 24. Profit after tax for the quarter came in at INR 126.57 crore, which represents a year-on-year growth of 26.93%. For the full year, financial year 25, our revenue from operations stood at INR 5,307.75 crore, which is a growth of 30.2% compared to financial year 24. Our EBITDA grew by 41.53% to INR 675.90 crore. The EBITDA margin expanded by 102 basis points to 12.73%. Profit after tax for the year stood at rupees 326.63 crore, delivering a strong growth of 40.07% over the previous year. From a balance sheet perspective, we remain in a comfortable position. Our net debt to equity ratio improved 2.34 times as of 31st March 2025 compared to 0.56 times in financial year 24. Our return on capital employed, ROCE, for the year stood at 24.7%, which has improved from the previous year. Our working capital days, excluding IPO funds, was well managed and stood at 74 days at the end of the year. With this, I hand the call back to Mr. Narayan.
Thank you, Deepak. So, in context, we are happy to share that Transrail is well positioned to capitalize on the opportunities. With a legacy of more than four decades, footprint in more than 59 countries, expertise across transmission, distribution, rail electrification, poles, lighting infrastructure, we build a business model and a team, more importantly a team that is diversified, resilient and future ready. We have large scale manufacturing facilities in India for galvanized lattice towers, overhead conductors, galvanized monopoles in addition to a well accredited tower testing facility. To cater to the increasing demand and support of our growing order book, we are increasing our capacity of towers and conductors. Our investments in-house engineering, design, testing infrastructure on execution, our execution track record across challenging terrains and our prudent financial management has helped us to emerge as a trusted partner to our clients and government utilities. To conclude my opening remarks, I reiterate that I have mentioned this in the previous call that we at Transrail, the management team, maintain a simple philosophy of simplicity, self-confidence and speed. Taking inspiration from Mr. Jack Welch of GE, we believe that we are committed to continuous growth, strong execution and value creation for our stakeholders. Now I'd like to open the call and this forum for question and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mahesh from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Go ahead, Mahesh.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, last year performance was very impressive. We grew more than 30%. So now the current order book is around 40,500 crores. So based on execution, what kind of growth we are anticipating in the current year?
So, thanks, Mahesh. Good question. Our guidance is that we will grow our revenue by 23 to 25% over what we have achieved in March 25. And this trajectory we know can be achieved through our execution and the fact that we have an order book to back up.
Okay. And sir, the EBITDA margins last year was around 12.74%. So given the growth, we are anticipating 20%. Will there be improvement in EBITDA as well?
See, if we in our RHP have given the guidance in December of around 11.99 or 12% EBITDA. Our Q4 EBITDA was 12.2. Our guidance remains the same at 12.2 to 5% EBITDA because we know the margin profile of the order book we have, which is of course the best in the industry as we speak.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hardik Gori from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Firstly, sir, could you also provide the order execution details for Bangladesh in Q4 FY25?
So, actually, our execution post the September unfortunate incident has been pretty much consistent, and we have executed in the quarter almost 580 odd crores of revenue, full year around close to 1200 crores of revenue, which is what we had planned, and we have caught up on the delays which happened for a month or month and a half.
Got it, sir, got it. And what are the outstanding receivables out of the total amount as of FY25?
So we are actually, we've got a good amount of traction on the funds because these are priority projects. So we've got almost 60 to 70 million. Our outstanding is based on the work done and the bills in process. It is approximately around 400 crores overall for Bangladesh.
That's really insightful, sir. Secondly, sir, Power Grid has announced a capex budget of 35,000 crores for FY27 and FY28. 45,000 crores. So, sir, what portion of this capex do we expect to capture?
Our current market share is around 8 to 10%, and this is what we intend to achieve this year with Power Grid, which is a good number, and it gives us a good base to execute in India.
Got it, got it. And sir, what is the current size of bid pipeline and the composition of the same?
So, as you are aware that we bid domestic and global, and the pipeline is pretty strong. As you've seen yourself, 35,000 itself is Power Grid. And then we're talking about global play. Africa, there's a growth of expected 20% on the current opportunity. So we're talking about the global market and domestic market, and the pipeline will be more than 1 lakh crores.
Got it, got it, got it. And sir, any strategic initiatives underway to expand into regulated markets like US and Europe?
So we are not looking at doing EPC in US and Europe for sure. We are looking at some seed marketing of product sales of towers and conductors, which again we are going slow. It's a wait and watch and strategically seeing how things emerge. So Europe and US is really not in our agenda today.
Got it, got it. And lastly, an accounting question. So this quarter, our effective tax rate was around 29%. So sir, what is the sustainable tax rate that we are expecting in the coming financial years?
Tax rate will remain the similar, almost in the same line of the, there's no change much is going to take place in the current year.
All right, all right. That was really helpful. That's all from my side.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
So can you share in the inflows in India?
I do apologize, Pritesh, but your audio is not clear.
Just a minute. Can you hear me now?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Pritesh, please go ahead.
Go ahead.
Share your inflows in India in FY20.
Pritesh, once again, your audio is not clear. Could you please come in on the network range and ask your question?
Hello. Hello.
Pritesh, can you hear me?
Hello. Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Can you tell us the market share of your inflow in FY25? India inflow.
So total 9680 crores, we had 6,000 odd crores from the India market.
Mm. And what was your market share in it?
Market share depends on different verticals, so civil, roads, railways. So we don't go...
No, in T&D. Sorry, in T&D. Sorry, to be very clear, T&D.
In T&D, we would have a 10-12% market share.
Okay. The second question is on the TBCB projects which have been given out to Power Grid at about 60,000 crore in FY25, which means market would have got about 1 lakh crore in TBCB projects. Out of that, how much is ordered out to T&D companies?
So that's a difficult question because what we know is what has been announced. So I think 1,000 crores have been announced. The rest is still on the anvil.
Sorry, you are not audible. How much is announced?
30,000 odd crores is announced.
Okay, okay.
Pipeline, some are under opening, some are under to be bid. So that's the likely status, but this is again anticipated answer.
Is it fair to assume that you will have a strong inflow growth in FY26 also?
Yes, that's what I answered in the previous question. With the order capex plan of Power Grid, which is itself 35,000 crores, we believe that we have a good chance to be at the same level or better our order intake in India.
And my last question is, when will your Qatar facility become operational, the expanded conductor facility?
So, we have already started the work. It will be by end of the year, it should be in place.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to 3 questions per participant and rejoin the question queue. We take the next question from the line of Manish Otswal from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, given the increased geopolitical risk in the international market, how do you manage the credit risk in the project? Can you point out some of the qualitative aspect of it, managing the risk in the international market, so that we do not have a negative supply in terms of receivables loss or something?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, and it's important that I elaborate that. So firstly, we work with multilateral funding agencies globally, and we pick and choose our projects through a risk matrix which we look at through a scorecard, where to go, what to do, and a threshold number. If we don't achieve, we do not go ahead. So basically 5 out of 10 jobs we would refrain from bidding. Once we understand, we send our teams, we understand the geography, the labor laws, the subcontractors, the utility, the whole regional geopolitics before we bid. So we are very careful in our narrative, and each tender is approved by me and my chairman personally. So we are very careful when we bid overseas.
Okay, and in our overseas business so far, how much total loss we have on account of receivables in the business?
We have had no loss in our company history in receivables in international.
Okay, and secondly, sir, one data point, can you give the top 5 geographical breakdown of our international orders, order book basically?
So, we are working in Cameroon, Kenya, Tanzania, then Mali, and Niger. So, these are the top 5 projects.
And the last question, sir, like we are hearing from some of our peers that the project execution challenge in terms of labor shortage and the land procurement, can you make some qualitative comment on these two challenges for the industry and the transfer in particular?
So, yes, there is skilled labor I would say availability has become, you know, demand and supply situation based on the infrastructure boom. And we are working on the ground with our teams very closely with the skilled labor and subcontractors. So yes, it's a challenge, but obviously it is something which we have to work around, and we are doing that. And if you see our numbers, it shows that we are executing well.
Thank you, sir, and all the very best for the execution for F26. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nitin Jain from Fair Value. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. So I have just one question. What will be the concentration of Bangladesh orders in our entire order book? And what has been the payment history so far? And what is our guidance for this Bangladesh order book for FY26?
Okay. So as of December, Bangladesh order book was 20% of our total order book. As of March 25, it became 15%. And as we're executing well, as of May end, it will be approximately 12%. And by the year end, we'll be 5 to 6% only. And we intend to finish the Bangladesh job by June of 27. Yeah, 26.
And just if you could comment on the payment history so far.
The payments are working on schedule, on time. In the last 6 months, we got more than $70 million. And we are on schedule. This is a government priority project of government of Bangladesh. And they are supporting their own progress by supporting our funding. There was a delay, of course, during the coup period, but then it's stabilized now post-December.
Great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Darshil Pandya from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, you are.
Yes, sir. So my question was with regards to the interest payment that we are doing, almost 197 crore as I can see on the full year basis. And our total borrowing stands at around 640, 650 odd crores. So can you please tell me what kind of interest costs are we paying and what additional this interest payment includes?
This includes the interest payments on the short-term, long-term borrowing, as well as the usage period of the LC which we have been paying, that is also included in the same. So it is not only just 600 crore, so it includes the LC which we are having limit of 1000 crore more than the same.
So out of the 1000 crores, what kind of LCs, utilizations are we doing? Any idea?
It remain almost 90-95% utilization.
And are we doing anything to bring down the interest cost that we have? And if I have seen out of 800 crores, 400 were for the fresh issue. So only 241 crores have we used for net debt payment?
Yeah, presently it is a position. However, we have got our credit rating upgraded to A+, and we are expecting further upgradation. And on the basis of the same next assessment of the limit, we expect that our interest cost is going to get reduced.
So for this year, sir, what kind of interest, we will be paying as against what we have paid for FY25?
9% roughly. In the CC, it is around 11%.
So I'm asking what kind of interest expenses we'll see for this year.
So we, from 197, you are saying, where
It is around going to be in the range of 3.5% to 3.6% of the total turnover.
3.6%
of the total turnover.
Okay, got you. And sir, just one last question. In 2024 somewhere, we had some really, best margins from the EBITDA front. Can we achieve some of what we have done in, probably in 2024? Like, I see around 13% something.
What happens is that the margins are a mix of different projects, different product margins, and therefore it's an amalgamation of all that on an average basis. So if you see through our RHP and guidance, we've been talking about 11.99-12%, and even in the last call I had mentioned 12-12.5% would be where we are going. So we intend to maintain that at 12-12.2%, which is again the best in the industry so far.
Of course. Got it, sir. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you so much for taking the call, taking the question.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shaurya Panyani from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
My question was on your CAPEX plan. So this CAPEX which you are doing, what is the cost of the overall CAPEX?
So, firstly, we are looking at CAPEX which we got approved in the month of January. We had looked at 326 crores for our expansion of our factory, then a new factory and some plant and equipment. So that again is on schedule and the work is happening. And we are looking at CAPEX specific loans and internal accruals to fund this other than the 90 crores we took from the IPO funding for CAPEX.
90 crores from IPO. Okay.
Yeah, 90 crores.
And by what time this entire CAPEX will be done, that new capacity will kick in?
So part capacity to the brownfield project will happen by June, July. And a new factory which is up will happen by December of this year.
December 26 or 25?
Yes.
Okay.
The phase execution, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nikhil from Kizuna Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers.
Thank you.
So my first question is like on the our African order book, like we are seeing US President cutting the funding for African projects, a lot of African projects. So have you seen any kind of headwinds in that part of the African region?
So for us, most of our funding is through World Bank and African Development Bank, which is an independent body, and they are not through MCA American funding. So we have not been, any way troubled with that.
Okay, sir, that's great to hear. Now, sir, in the FY25 and on a sequential basis, we have seen rise in our subcon cost, and we have seen a great reduction in the cost of material consumed. So can you highlight any pointers on that, like the raw material prices are coming down and how are we managing that part? And are these sustainable numbers?
Yes, firstly, we are sustainable because we work on a very clear project-to-project analysis on cost-to-complete. We look at the monthly variances. So the principal point is when you see the subcontractor's cost going up, we are now in more of a construction execution phase, and that's why the cost has gone up, but it is in line with the budgets of each project.
Okay, so that's great to hear. And sir, can you just provide an update on HVDC project that we won? And what are the timelines for that? And how is the pipeline for HVDC projects?
So the pipeline is around 5,000 odd crores what we hear and we see the forecast. We already got one job, that is KPS2 to Nagpur. And we are now starting work there, which we got in the last quarter. So we are quite bullish on the HVDC opportunity going forward.
And so what would be the timelines?
Yeah, we are focused on transmission line and not substation in HVDC.
So that's great to hear. So what would be like our project timelines for HVDC project? And so one of the bookkeeping questions, like what is our fund-based and non-fund-based limit and what is the utilization over there?
Our fund-based limit is around 600 crore and non-fund-based limit, assess limit is around 4,800 crore and we have fully tied up almost both the limit. And utilization remains something between 90 to 95%.
Okay, sir. And so what are our advances from the projects?
So advances, we get around 10% advance mostly on each of the projects. In India, Power Grid is interest bearing, but internationally these are advances without interest.
Sir, that's great to hear. And sir, lastly, what is our timeline for HVDC project? Like what is going to be the execution phase?
It's 24 months to 30 months depending on the nature of the project and the timeline given in the contract.
Okay, sir, that's great to hear. That's it from my side. Congratulations on a great set of numbers and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Mehak Talati from Agility Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, just wanted to understand, so how much of our current capacity of tower and conductor is sold in the outside market and how much of it is used for internal consumption?
Yeah, so if you see most of our conductors and towers today, 95% is, or 96% is used internally for our EPC in terms of current capacities. But as we expand our capacities, this 4-5% product sales will go up. And for that, we are looking at marketing opportunities and managing the new geographies.
Okay, and is it, so 95% is used for internal consumption, so is it catering to entire demand or we are purchasing something from the outside market as well?
So we are looking at our internal demand with the order book we have of around 14,500 crores. We are therefore expanding our factories. As you heard, the first phase of CapEx for towers is being implemented by June and by December, and we will be quite self-sufficient in-house when we have this factories in place.
Okay, and sir, in terms of how much of our order book is currently catering to the substation portion?
Substation is small. We would be out of 14,500, would be around 1,000 crores.
Okay, and any plans to increase the substation opportunity because that is also large part of the T&D opportunity?
We have a separate substation strategy and we are bidding jobs internationally. So even recently we got two jobs internationally worth around 750 odd crores. So we are aggressively looking at opportunities, but again, as I mentioned in the beginning, our focus is on the margin-led opportunity where execution and the client is keen to finish the job on time. So we are very focused on pick and choose where we want to go.
Okay, thank you. And sir, last one question was, so our payable days are quite high at around 200 plus days. So any specific reason why we are getting such extended payment terms or this is normalized?
Can you repeat the question, please?
So it was related to the payment paper days. Our paper days is quite high, 200 plus days. So is there any specific reason behind the extended payment terms?
We are not getting you properly. Would you please repeat it again?
So sir, my question.
I have left the question queue. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Mehul Mehta from Choice Equity Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on great set of numbers. My question is on CapEx planned of about 325 crores. We will be reaching 196,000 metric tons of towers and conductors of 49,500 kilometers. Is that correct understanding?
It is slightly, I would say, I'll give you a better picture. I think that's a better way to handle. So with 326 crores, what we had planned, we will reach 173,000 metric ton of towers and 40,800 kilometers of conductors. Now we have, in the last board meeting, we have got further CapEx approved in principle and which we'll utilize in the next 15-18 months, which will then take us to 196,000 metric tons and 49,500 circuit kilometers. So therefore, there are phase 1 and phase 2, which both are our focus going forward.
So in this, there will be additional capex above, over and above 325 crores?
50 odd crores more we are planning to add so that within the existing brownfield projects, to go to this capacity I mentioned.
And this will be over 15-18 months completed, so maybe mid-FY27, is that correct?
Yeah, it's going to be around 15 months, what we are looking at. And this is basically, we're looking at conductor in, there's an increased requirement of AL59 category of conductors, which we are looking at expanding.
All right, thank you, I'm done.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshaay Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
My major question has been answered. Just wanted to know how much would be the domestic and international percentage for the future you will be expecting. Currently, it's around 45-55.
So 65 actually is, you know, including some of our other businesses, 8%, civil, poles and railways. Our T&D business is 50-50 almost, international and domestic. Internationally, we only do T&D. So therefore, our going forward international, domestic will be almost same.
Okay, 50-50 only. And secondly, on the substation EPC side, so currently you are facing any equipment sourcing stage, like a shortage in the transformer side, control panel or switch gear?
So we are actually doing substations, which I mentioned earlier, is mostly international. And therefore, we have opportunity to source globally. So we don't have any problems on transformers, and whatever was needed has been already procured.
Okay, mostly it is for international only.
Yes.
Okay. And lastly, on the working capital days, so currently you ended the year with the 90-day working capital. So in future also you expect that the working capital is to stay 90 days only?
Sir, actually it is with the, including the IPO fund which is parked in the bank. So if we exclude the IPO fund, we remain at 74 days of the working capital. It is almost in the similar line of the last year, and we expect it to be remained within 75 to 85 working days in the next year, sir.
Which is as per close to the industry norms.
Okay, understood. Yeah, thank you so much for answering all this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers and thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to know, in terms of an international order, you mentioned that most of your funding comes through World Bank and African Development Bank. So this, how does this funding basically secured from the bank side? How does it work? If you can just elaborate that, sir.
Okay.
Because of the geopolitical situation, you know, a lot of world fundings are getting restricted. So just I wanted to know that.
Okay. So the way the global funding works, let's say African countries, they tie up on each contract with the global funding agency, and this whole process takes 1 to 2 years. Once the tie-up happens, they then issue the tender for global bidding, and then we participate. So when we participate, the funding is already tied up, even for ROW and whatever is the nature of the project. And then global bids are announced. And when we bid and if we win, we are very secure in terms of the funding. And then therefore, you get the advance also at the time once you sign the contract.
Okay. And so till date, there's not been a history that your funding has been stopped or you have got a payment not to have come on time, right?
Yes, the payments come on time. There could be a month or two delay if there is a ROW or there is some unnatural happening. But for multilateral funding agencies, we have not had any problem.
Because you operate in regions like Africa, where you know there is a lot of political turmoil. Does it affect funding in any till date?
When we bid, we look at the political scenario, we look at the execution area, we look at the geography, look at the utility, we look at the consultants, all that. So we really have seen delays happening if there is an unnatural event happening like a coup or something which may delay the project for a couple of months. But funding wise, we have been pretty secure.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of J.S. Trivedi from InCred AMC. Please go ahead.
Welcome.
Hello sir, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, firstly congratulations sir on good set of numbers. My one question is how do we look at the subcontracting expenses in FY25? If I compare with FY24, it has significantly gone up. So can you brief something on that?
Yes. So it's the nature of the project, and when you are looking at higher degree of execution based on the timeline. So initially when the project starts up, you see the engineering design approvals, the supplies happening. So there, it's a mix of projects which happened in 24 and 25. 25 has been a year where we had to do huge amount of construction and delivery in terms of on the ground, and therefore the contract expenses have gone up, the subcontractor expenses have gone up. And, but this is in line with the budget of the project. And this is every month we look at variation analysis and we know that it is in line with the budget and all homework happens on this.
Yes, sir. Despite increase in the subcontracting expense, our margins have also gone up. So, just wanted to understand how does this work, like going forward also if...
The margin profile is the nature of the complete project. Nature of the complete project.
Combination of material cost.
So it's a material and its construction cost. It's also subcontracting expenses, employee cost, finance cost. So the margin profile depends on how better we execute on the ground in terms of our subcontracting cost. We look at how we can negotiate better our supply chain management. So the margin profile goes up on the overall project. And that's what we are doing. Despite having huge construction focus, our margin profile we are maintaining and bettering.
So sir, just to summarize, is my understanding correct that Transrail is in a very good position to get good orders from the clients, which the subcontracting parties are not able to get it? So they are ready to work with us for a lower margin and higher credit days also. Is my understanding correct here?
I will differentiate this a little bit. We deal directly with the utilities and we take jobs. So our subcontractors whom we hire know and trust us to work with us, and these are all pre-decided before we bid. So there is an understanding and the margin profile is similar because we already have an understanding prior to bidding. And therefore that's the good part about us, that we know the manner in execution of the job and we know how what kind of margin will happen by end of the project.
Okay, sure sir. Those are my questions. Yeah. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to know, is there any stated dividend policy or that you have, because the payout seems to be less compared to how it is. Sir.
Can you repeat this question, please? What payout are you?
So dividend payout ratio. Is there any dividend stated policy by the company, the percentage of profit what will be paid out by the management?
So the dividend policy is there, and depending on the manner in which we look at our profits, the dividend policy guidelines approved by the board will be deciding on the dividend.
So here, the percentage of profit, what is the policy to tell out?
So this is the first year and we are going to finalize this.
Okay.
The group will be looking at, you know, how much to reinvest and how much to look at dividend.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Prince Chaudhary from Pink Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, I want to understand usually what percentage of our order book goes to subcontractor?
Oh, the subcontractor order book, see, construction is 30% of a normal EPC job. And out of this, we are looking at least 15 to 20% going to subcontractors for work.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viral Shah from Ambit Wealth Private Limited. Please go ahead. Viral, if you can please unmute your line and ask your question. Since there is no response,
yes, please go ahead. Yeah, so basically, I was looking at, so what is the exposure of our Bangladesh order book as of now, and what is the strategy going forward? Would we be bidding for new projects there, or we will restrain from bidding any other new projects going forward there?
As I had mentioned in the call, and I hope you had heard that, Our order book was 20% in December, the unexecuted order book in Bangladesh, which came down to 15% in March, and now it's 12% in May as we forecast. So the work is happening as per plan. We don't intend to bid orders in Bangladesh as of now. And what we see is that our exposure, net exposure on 300 odd crores. Hello, I hope you heard me.
Yeah, yeah, got it. Yeah. So that's it for mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sahil Patani from Strokes Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. I just want to know, what is our current order win pipeline and historically, what has been our conversion rate off of the pipeline?
So, the pipeline, as I mentioned in the call, will be around 1 lakh odd crores, India and international, and we are looking at 8 to 10% win ratio as we go along.
Got it. And is this next 3 years or this is the next 5 years? What are the times?
So the current order book gives us a clear 2 years visibility, 2.5 years on revenue. And whatever we book this year will help us to further strengthen that. So this whatever book we order the book will take 18 to 24 months from this year to execute.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Deepam Gala, an investor. Please go ahead.
Please go ahead. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Congrats on the good set of numbers, sir. Actually, I just wanted to know that what is the incremental revenue
here? I do apologize to interrupt you there, but your audio is not clear. Could you please use your handset?
Hello, am I audible now?
Yeah, a little better.
Yes, so my question was that what is the incremental revenue expected from the CAPEX?
Okay, so the incremental revenue, if you see the CAPEX expansion, this has been planned in line with the current order book. And we already are giving a guidance of 23 to 25% revenue growth. To meet these needs as we go along, we need this CAPEX to support the towers and conductors for our in-house execution.
Okay, okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amit Kumar, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So we have existing capacity of 84,000 MT per annum and connected 24,000 kilometers per annum. So what is the capacity utilization on these points?
So currently we are at 95% on towers and 100% on conductors.
Okay, and we have revenue of around 5,300 crores in this financial year. So could you please provide the bifurcation in power, T&D, railway, civil, pole and lighting, all the four sections?
So predominantly 90%, 92% is T&D, 4% is civil, 2% is railways and 1% is poles.
Okay, thank you. That's all, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Arjun Agarwal, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations on great set of results. I want to know one thing. Based on the tower testing facility that we have, do we have any constraints regarding what is the next regarding the maximum number of voltage rating that we can cater to?
We can go up to 1200 kV in tower testing. We are working 3 shifts to requirement.
Too much of sound on the background.
Sorry for the disturbance.
So, as I said, we can go up to 1200 kV in our tower testing. and we are self-sufficient. We work on 3 shifts, including working at night. So we are well established to cater for all our requirements internally. And we also look at some odd jobs for our external clients.
Okay, thank you for this answer. Sir, I want to take your view actually regarding this National Electricity Plan transmission that CEA has envisioned for 2032. So what kind of guidance can we expect from this particular plan, the total addressable market?
So the addressable market in India and the infrastructure in T&D is going to go up. At the solar opportunity of generation and looking at the strengthening of the various lines and various grid elements. So we are talking about a 1 lakh crore opportunity, out of which at least 50 to 60,000 will be in India, and this will double hopefully the following year. So one can predict beyond 2 years, but we see a good traction for infrastructure in T&D in India.
Okay. So thank you for this answer. So my last question will be regarding are we emphasizing more on the monopoles and other HVDC equipments like which we can supply this transmission towers and monopoles pertaining to HVDC?
So we are looking at transmission opportunities in HVDC, which is a complete EPC job, which includes supply of towers and conductors. So therefore, we are well placed because integrated back-integrated plant. We are well poised to support the HVDC growth in India.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the detailed answer and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nitin Jain from Fair Value. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. So my question is on working capital days. So in the presentation, you have mentioned that excluding the IPO funds, the working capital days are around 74, which is in line with last year's number. But if I compare that to FY22 and 23, the number is higher by about 10 days. So any reason, like has there been any change in the business model or in the industry?
So the improvement in working capital days is a sincere focused effort to see how fast we can, you know, look at billing to collection cycle. And that's what we are looking at improving further. It's a constant progress of seeing how fast we can get our monies. And we see that our clients also are keen to expedite progress and pay us on time.
No, my point is it has the working capital days have increased compared to 22 and 23.
That is obviously because you have many more projects happening, the scaling is up, so the timelines, it all depends on the kind of job you have. It's a dependency-based job.
Terms of payment,
it depends on a very much mix of this. So what we did 2 years ago is maybe not sacrosanct today, and today what we are doing is aligned with industry norms.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Randeep Nala, Managing Director, for his closing comments.
So I thank you all for participating and coming on a rainy monsoon day to listen to our numbers and our feedback. So we look forward to meeting you soon in the next quarter. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. On behalf of Mirae Asset Capital Markets, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.